Our friend Chris Montgomery here just moved to Chicago, Chi-Town.
Yes, that's what they call it.
As we in the lazy segment.
The city. The windy city, yeah. It's been really good. I've been here 3 days, and I'm happy. I'm really happy to be
here.
Isn't
it weird? Yeah. It's kind of a happy place.
I haven't experienced happiness for a long time, so this is special.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about depression on today's podcast, so that's very topical. Chris, happy to be in Chicago. You're glad you're here.
Yeah, it's been really good. Working downtown, living in Buena Park, which is lovely.
Buena Park. That's when someone gives you a list of places to live in Chicago. That's probably not in the top 10, but definitely top 30.
Top 30. Yeah. Of 33 neighborhoods. Top 30.
Yeah, no. Honestly, though, that's a cool area, and he's living with our buddy Brady Barr, who has an incredible apartment. So Chris is living with Brady.
Yes.
Down in Buena Park.
And Ma-B-A.
Ma-B-A, Brady's Ma-B-A. Girlfriend.
I've had a lot of trouble pronouncing her name.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought her name was Meta Ian for a long time. I actually thought that Brady was dating an entire Colombian drug cartel.
Which she...
I wouldn't put it past him. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. Which
he does love drugs and men,
gangbangs,
and Colombia.
So. He likes to be the center of attention in a gangbang. but I suppose we digress.
I digress.
I get another beer.
Tonight's episode, or today's, or whatever time it may be in Germany. it's gonna be about a little something called shitty movies. I think it's safe to say, but I think we're gonna start our podcast, as we start all of them, with a little bit of a drink roll call. Let's start down the list here. I'll start with mine, which I've actually already finished before the podcast.
Woo-hoo.
It's a little drink called Ephemere, which is a Canadian beverage.
Sounds German.
Doesn't it, though? Doesn't it? Though it's not. It is an ale from a little town outside of Montreal, and it is brewed with just a hint of apple juice. It's not a cider, mind you, but there's a hint of apple juice in the brewing process, which makes it one of the most refreshing summer beers I've ever had. Say what you will.
Apple beer.
A lot of folks out there might have a prejudice against any sort of beer with any sort of fruit taste in it. No, it's delicious stuff. It's perfect summer refreshing beer. It's not sweet, but it does have a little bit of a tart apple aftertaste, and it kind of melds well with that hoppy fermented ale. It's good stuff. Highly recommend it. Ephemere. Check your local grocer. Hondra, what are you drinking over there?
Well, John, as you well know, I'm a big fan of local beers, and I decided to go with the Charlottesville Star Hill Brewery this time, and I'm drinking their Northern Lights India Pale Ale, and it's hoppy, just the way I like it. I'm a big fan of India Pale Ales, and unfortunately, this one doesn't happen to have a little story on the label, which is it's a big no-no.
Oh.
I mean, I usually don't drink beers without somewhat of a little story.
Yeah, you know, my beers and my potato chips, I like to have a little story talking about how it's like, you know, like just like grandma used to make kind of story, you know?
My grandma made beer.
Really?
Moonshine.
Exactly.
Yeah, grandma's moonshine. Well, that sounds good, buddy, and I love the fact that you like to drink local. That's just wonderful. Keeping the dream. What about you, Chris? I see what you're drinking here,
well,
and I'm actually enjoying a little bit myself now.
Indeed. I'm drinking a fine brew called Sierra Nevada Torpedo Extra IPA, Hondro. So you're gonna have to check this one out. It's very, very hoppy. It's obviously from the. It's not a. Well, I guess Sierra Nevada is a microbrew, not quite as much of a microbrew as the whatever it is you're drinking. What is it again? What was yours, Hondro?
Yeah, what was that?
It was Star Hill, and it's their Northern Lights India Pale Ale.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so
and believe it or not, Starlight is a brewery that just started in 1999. So that dream that we've always had of starting our own brewery,
yeah.
You guys, we could do it.
Apparently. And every time I drink a beer, I'm like, hey, I could have a brewery.
Yeah. This one's pretty good. I don't know. I have to say, it's pretty strong. And I bought it over the Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA, which personally I think is the best IPA on the face of the earth.
Wow.
That's a glowing endorsement right there.
Yeah, this earth.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement. And wait, Chris, is it the 60-minute or 90-minute you said?
90-minute.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. Another 30 minutes really does the trick.
Yes.
But this one has a little story. It says, Sierra Nevada Torpedo Ale is a big American IPA.
Huge.
Perfectly balanced, yet full of flavor and
huge
aromas.
Huge in Germany.
Highlighting the complex citrus, pine, and herbal character of whole cone American hops.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, it sort of does have a piney taste to it.
Well, you know, that's you ferment in an IPA, typically you're going to go through the fermenting process at least twice. And this shit's gone through it like 50 times. This is
at least.
This is at least. And you can quote me. No, but super hoppy, great stuff. Sierra Nevada, check it out. Torpedo Extra IPA. Yeah, good pick, Chris.
Cheers.
Cablamo.
I've actually had that before, and it's extremely hoppy, as we just discussed. And
like
I'd
a
say
full-blown
it's
adult
intense,
rabbit.
But not overly bitter. And it has a hip-hop aroma, you might say?
It's a hip-hop aroma.
No, it is good. It's a little sweet for my taste. Do you taste the sweetness?
You know, there is a
element of citrusy,
which is kind of strange. Yeah, it's the initial taste is kind of a citrusy sweetness, which, as I learned in Napa Valley, is something you taste on the sides of your tongue.
Oh.
That's right. I was in Napa, boys.
Oh, plugging.
That's a plug for my friends there.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy, the evening TV.
Shall we start with the movies? Should we discuss movies? Is that something that we should do?
We could do this. I think we should do this.
Let's do this.
Then we shall. Let's see here. Let's start our discussion. Again, we're going to be talking about shitty movies. Both those shitty movies that we love and those that we do not, which sometimes can be a fine line.
And the ones that other people think were good.
Ooh,
and we know
yeah, that's important. That's important. We'll save that for last.
Sorry, yeah, that's later.
No, I know. That's getting people, you know, that's a little foreplay for that want to hear whatever that might be. All right, Hondro, can you start this out for us? We're going to talk about some of those movies that we love, but only because they hold a special place in our heart from maybe we were too young and naive at the time. But, Hondro, let's get us started. Let's talk about some 80s movies.
All right. Well, it's funny that we have this discussion because I was looking through my DVD collection the other day, and lo and behold, I found Kickboxer with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Hell yeah. Nuxu Kao. The White Warrior.
Now, honestly, growing up, as a kid, I loved Jean-Claude Van Damme, dude. Like, I thought his movies were so badass.
Yeah.
And, Kickboxer was, like, his godfather. It was like, oh my god, this movie is awesome!
You know what, Andre, that's great. I like that. Kickboxer is, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme's godfather.
Perfect.
Now, for the people that haven't watched it, don't watch it.
But seriously,
I mean, this is a movie that I loved so much as a kid. Like, I could probably still watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's such a typical 80s movie. Like,
oh, man.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is seriously a pretty bad actor. And actually, he's the best actor in the movie.
That's true.
So that'll tell you a little something right there. Now, I will give some positive points to the movie. Now, if you're looking for an action-packed film, there are some awesome fight sequences in it. It's not an unbelievable story, and I think it is somewhat compelling. You know, a guy is in Thailand with his brother, who's the champion.
Alejandro, I love how the more you talk about it, the more you're like starting to like really sell it as like an awesome movie.
I'm so conflicted. I mean, I really had to think about this, and this is a movie that, like, inside my, like, naive heart, I can only say that, oh, God, I love that movie. And then there's, like, the logical side, and we see this movie again. It's like, oh, this movie is atrocious.
Atrocious.
Well, Chris, I think you had something to say about Kickboxer.
The only thing I remember from that movie is he makes his leg bleed profusely from kicking bamboo sticks, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was bad.
That was an emotional scene.
Is that accurate?
That's absolutely
That's exactly the same movie, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's 100%.
So I've seen it.
Real.
That's verified. I've seen that movie, and it was everything you said it was.
Yeah.
But I'll correct something. It wasn't a bamboo. It was like a little palm tree. And he kicks it so many times, he manages to, like, basically knock the tree down just by kicking.
Yeah, no, that's like later on when the guy, when he's like trying to prove a point, when the guy's like telling him he should quit. Yeah. He's like, oh, well, you know, obviously if you're going to know, you know, if you're going to give up, and then he knocks it. It's the most like inspirational. I mean, show that to like troubled teens.
Yeah.
And they'll probably go kill somebody
or
something.
Or that. Well, so have you ever seen Time Cop?
Ooh, man.
The subject of
Jean-Claude. Oh, man. Apparently that was Jean-Claude Van Damme's highest grossing film.
Dude, actually, I think that was actually his best movie.
Jason.
In objectively, I mean, we're talking about nostalgia tinged films that we loved growing up and we love now for nostalgic purposes, but realize, you know, if you were to watch them the first time now, you wouldn't like it. Time Cock.
That's the other one.
It's a different movie.
That was a Freudian slip.
That was a Freudian slip. Time Cock is a movie is a porno feature about a man who, you know, goes through a wormhole, and, so to speak.
A black hole.
Yeah. I digress. No, Time Cop was actually a good movie, and perhaps Jean-Claude Van Damme's only good movie.
Well, I think the villain made that movie. The guy that plays the villain, do you remember him?
Oh, the guy with the beard?
Yes.
I agree. He was a good actor.
He's been in a lot of other movies.
He's usually the villain because he's very...
Yeah. British guy.
No, he's not British.
Hmm.
I don't know what his
Asian?
Name is. I think he's...
John is a xenophobe. He automatically identifies bad guys as Englishmen.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a revolutionary, man.
Yeah.
I still think we haven't gotten all of the British agents out.
Yeah.
I don't think this country really starts until we can get all the British spies out of here.
Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton's.
Yes.
Fucking whatever.
Yeah, fuck them.
Limey bastards.
Limey bastards. Chris.
And,
Oh, no. Hunter, you got more to say about...
Wait, are we discussing... Oh, yeah, sorry. You know what? My mistake. I just like the sound of my own voice. Chris, please go ahead.
Under Siege?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. That was,
it fits the topic very well, though.
Yeah, it's a similar type of genre.
I would say it's almost the exact same genre.
Yes.
Actually, no. You know what? That movie had some merits. I recall one specific scene involving a female bursting out of a cake.
With her boobies.
Yeah, that was a movie. Somehow that slipped through the censors, being my parents. Somehow I was allowed to watch that movie.
Right.
I was probably 9, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't recall any of the rest of the movie.
To be completely honest, it's on a ship or a submarine or something.
It had a couple redeeming qualities. One of them was Tommy Lee Jones was the bad guy.
Really?
And he's a good actor.
Oh, really?
Shit, I didn't know that.
I didn't have a clue. Oh.
He played that. He was dressed up as like a rock and roll guy supposed to come in with the stripper, and then he takes over the ship.
Wow.
Which is it was a battleship that was supposed to be decommissioned and it's going on its last voyage.
Huh. Yeah, I had no idea. Thank you, Hanjo.
My pleasure.
I feel like Hanjo has an encyclopedic knowledge of these movies.
He does.
Relative to himself.
I feel like this is going to be a very Hanjo podcast.
Well, Hanjo, where did you grow up in Italy, right?
Well, I grew up all over the place. So I was born in Venezuela. I moved to the States for a couple of years, went to Colombia, Argentina, and I went to high school in Italy.
Right.
But one thing that never changed, regardless of what place I went to, was that I loved movies, and that's I spent a lot of my time watching them.
All sorts of movies.
Word
not just,
up.
Not yes. just the top.
Especially 80s and 90s movies.
Yes.
Word up. Well, you know, Under Siege, that is a great movie, but going into that same kind of genre, to give you just a counterpoint of what's possible within that kind of late 80s action genre is the movie Die Hard.
I was just thinking that, which is an awesome movie.
Die Hard is an awesome movie, which if I saw for the first time now, I think I would still enjoy. I mean, it's tough to say, but I think I would.
No, it was an awesome movie.
That goes to show you that's a key differentiation and distinction between, like, the movies we're talking about that are nostalgia tinge that we enjoy and ones that are similar but have just enough something je ne sais quoi that make them actually enjoy it. And I think it's probably the fact that Bruce Willis is a solid front man.
Although the villain in that movie was awesome.
It was Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman was awesome.
Yeah. Die Hard was awesome. Can I talk about my 80s nostalgia?
Yes.
Please. All right.
Oh, and I will mention Alan Rickman is a Shakespearean actor.
Oh, yeah?
So, it's hard to go wrong when your bad guy is Shakespearean and your protagonist is Bruce Willis.
Although, someday people will say Bruce Willisian.
Dude, I just have to say one thing right now.
Yeah.
Die Hard or Live Free or Die Hard was a truly awful movie.
How the Mighty Have Fallen, yeah.
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 They really fell off the bandwagon
just,
on that one.
Just to draw a little distinction.
Yeah. Well, you know what? These things come and go. Die Hard 2 was really not very good. Die Hard with a Vengeance was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. With Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, so every other Die Hard movie is badass. So this next one, man, get psyched. Wait in line. All right.
Your turn.
80s, 10 nostalgia movies. I want to talk about two. One I'm only going to mention very quickly. Teen Wolf. I saw that movie briefly for like 5 minutes this weekend while I was hungover in San Francisco with my girlfriend. We watched like 5 minutes of Teen Wolf. She'd never seen it, and I was like, are you fucking kidding? Like, you gotta watch. And we watched 5 minutes and she was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. And I was like, oh shit, you're right.
Yeah, you didn't realize it.
Yeah, and that's where the idea behind this podcast actually came from, is me being like, oh, you have to see this, and her being like, really? This is really bad, and I had to agree. And anyways, that's neither here nor there, but if you grew up with Teen Wolf, you love it, you know what's up, you know, whatever. Guy turns into a werewolf, becomes a basketball championship.
Hero.
Oh, yeah. Nobody asks any questions. That was the beauty of the 80s, man. Nowadays, people would be like, you can't be a werewolf, but whatever. Living Story, which I don't know if you've seen in recent years or even in the past like couple decades, but that is a truly bad, bad movie. I could, if that movie was on TV right now, I'd sit and watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I absolutely, but it is horrendous.
Is that the one with the big dog?
The flying dragon dog.
Dragon dog.
Yeah, it's okay. Dragon dog, man.
Hunter, you saw that, right?
Which one?
The Neverending Story.
Dude, it's the fucking, like,
we got Hunter on video chat. He was just like staring up absently, and I don't know. Whatever.
It's a complicated story. Let's just say no fish were involved in this.
No fish. Not even one.
Not even one. But, I loved... I definitely think it fits this conversation because I loved it as a kid, but if we were to watch it now, first off, the special effects, you know, were kind of questionable.
Yeah.
But I think it would always appeal to a certain part of your childhood. So, you know, you could still watch it now. I don't know if it would fit the teen wolf category, because I still feel like you could at least get drunk or somehow fucked up, whatever your choice, you know, whatever your poison may be. And some degree, Neverending Story might still be good.
Oh, dude, Neverending Story, I could, maybe not drunk, but there are things out there to which The Neverending Story still could find a new audience, but it would be a very specific new audience of people that are doing some very specific things.
Right. I know we're on the topic of bad movies, but you know, if you were gonna go see a movie similar to Neverending Story, but you wanted it to be a little higher quality, you have Willow or Labyrinth.
Ooh, I like.
Oh, you know,
Labyrinth, dude.
Labyrinth. I wouldn't necessarily say Labyrinth is of a higher quality.
Really?
I put Neverending Story and Labyrinth in a pretty similar category.
And Willow's one tier above.
I put a little bit higher.
You put one higher?
The only reason why I give a lot of credit to Labyrinth is...
the music?
One, David Bowie's in it, the music is pretty badass. And two, Jennifer Connelly is so hot.
Dude. She's gotten hotter with age, I think, actually.
Perhaps. I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie, and I forget the name, I think it's a John Hughes film. It takes place almost entirely in a Target.
In a what?
In a Target store.
I think you're thinking of
No.
No? Are you thinking about Go?
No. This is a movie...
She's pregnant?
It's like one of the least seen John Hughes movies ever. It took place almost entirely in a Target, and it was like a janitor at a Target, and Jennifer Connelly is like his dream girl. Son of a bee sting. I'm going to have to look this up. Actually,
I'm already on it.
No, tell you what, I'm going to get the Wednesdays for Comics robot on this.
Yes, John, what do you want me to do
for? All right, Wednesdays for Comics robot, what was the name of the John Hughes film with Jennifer Connelly that took place in a Target? In the meantime, Chris, since you're new to the show, tell us what is the best movie or one of the best movies you've seen in the past year? Go.
In the past year, one of the best movies... I'm tempted to say Inception, but I honestly felt like it was really hyped up. Like, almost... It was so hyped up in my mind that when I saw it, I liked it, but I wasn't blown away by it. So... I think I'm gonna have to go with The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
I've never even heard of it.
That is a movie about the origins of the IRA in Northern Ireland. It stars Cillian Murphy, the guy who was in 28 Days Later. He was in Batman Begins. he plays the lead in that movie.
Really?
And it's just really well made.
Wow.
Really, really well made movie.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that. Cillian Murphy, I think, is one of the more underrated actors out there.
Yeah.
John, I have found the movie you were asking for.
Oh, thank you, Wednesdays for Comics Robot. By the way, we got this robot from if you've seen 2001 HUD. HUD had, there were some other models made. We happened to come across...
My name is Hal.
Oh, sorry.
My name is Hal.
Sorry, Hal. HUD.
Okay, I will kill you.
We call him HUD. You know, there's Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey. We got the model that just smokes pot and sits around and watches shitty movies all day and doesn't do any math. We call him HUD.
If I had control over your air supply, I would kill you.
So, HUD, what movie, what's the movie we're talking about here?
Career Opportunities.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell you what, you know, we see here now, thank you, HUD, that it was actually not directed by John Hughes, but it was written by John Hughes. Of Sherman, Illinois fame. All his movies took place in a fictional town called Sherman, Illinois, which was supposedly a suburb outside of Chicago. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink. All those movies took place in the same fictional town, as did this, and this was one of Jennifer Connelly's first movies, and it was one of the movies that made me a man, because there is a scene in which she is on a, like, one of the little horse games that, like, kids sit on outside of a Target, you know?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. You put a quarter in and it rocks around.
Yeah, yeah.
That is just sick, dude. That's
well,
just sick.
I'm just telling you, man, that there was something about that movie that was just very interesting. And I was like 8 years old, and I was like, I don't know why I really like this scene, but I do. And I'm, you know, I figured it out now. It's because those machines were awesome. Anyways, Career Opportunities. I don't know how we stumbled across this, but it fits into the... fits into the discussion very well, because it was a truly awful movie that you guys have apparently not seen, and I recommend you don't ever see. But since I did grow up watching it, I love it.
Who's the male lead in that? That's really what. That's what's.
Oh, a nobody, man. That he hit a high point at this movie that no one's ever heard
Jim
of.
Dodge.
Yeah, he doesn't even have. thank you, Wednesdays for Comics Robot, HUD.
He was also in the movie Swimming with Sharks with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, no one cares.
No one cares, HUD. Anyway, let's move into just bad movies. Movies that have zero redeeming qualities, that are just shitty.
And yet we've seen them.
And yet, for some reason, we've seen them. So Chris, truly bad movie with zero redeeming qualities. What you thinking?
Okay, I have more than one.
Wow.
The first one I only just saw part of yesterday, but now I really don't want to see it. Now that I've seen a few clips on YouTube, it's called The Room.
Oh my God! Go.
Yeah. The Room is a movie that was made by some dude back in like 2003. Who basically he saved up his whole life to make this movie.
I can't believe it. I've seen this movie, and I still can't believe it.
Yeah, he saved up his whole life savings to make this movie, and he made it. And it ended up being a complete failure, but it's become like a cult classic. So
oh, yeah.
it's famous for the wrong reason.
He's like the William Hung of, like, filmmakers.
Yes. I don't even know that much about the movie, but from what I've seen, it is truly the worst movie ever made. Just the timing of the lines, the inflection of the voice in the lines.
I feel bad for the families. I don't feel bad for anybody. I don't feel bad for anybody in the cast, in the editing room, the director. I feel bad for the families of everyone associated with that film. For having to endure just the complete, like, awkwardness of, you know, like, I don't know, going to the premiere or whatever.
Yeah.
Great. You know, anyways.
Andre, have you seen that one?
I have not gotten
Go on YouTube, dude. YouTube.
The honor of watching YouTube. This movie.
YouTube, type in The Room, and I'm trying to remember the scene that I saw that was hilarious. It's when he goes into the store to get flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Tom. Whatever he says, I don't know.
Andre, rent yourself The Room. No, we're giving it a lot of shit. It's a really good movie. Andre, just go watch it.
My other movie, which I am almost certain is the one you're thinking of. Because we saw it together.
Oh, no. Okay, go ahead.
Gods and Generals.
Oh, shit. I wasn't, but damn. Oh,
dude. For a sequel to what was an awesome movie in Gettysburg, that movie was just fucking horrendous.
You know, the filmmakers behind Gettysburg were trying to make a somewhat objective film about, you know, a major battle, obviously, in the Civil War.
Right.
In Gods and Generals, the filmmakers were like, you know what? I'm tired of being objective. The Confederates were right.
God damn it.
They made this movie called Gods and Generals, which makes Stonewall Jackson, he's the hero, like, just turn him in, like, the ultimate hero of all time. And how the fact that he, like, his death early in the war, in the American Civil War, was like, the worst thing that could have happened. Yeah, for the Germans. was the worst thing that could have happened to, you know, the world. And, like, it was so weird. And the interesting thing is that we saw it with our friend the Frit.
Fake Brit.
And he... there was an intermission. It was like a 4-hour movie. His name is Michael Scott. Yeah, that's he must be getting a lot of shit the past few years. But at intermission, we walked out of the theater and we're like all just about to unleash our utter hatred for this movie. And he was crying. I'm not making this up.
He loved it, right?
Chris was there. He fucking loved it.
Because his favorite show of all time was Jag.
Yes! Just to give you an idea of the kind of person who would love this movie, this guy watched the show Jag. He watched like 4 episodes a day. And most of you probably don't even know what that is, and that's a testament to, you know, the quality of this program. Long story short, that was a bad movie, but no, that is not the one I was going to pick.
Still no?
Still no.
Any clues you could provide that we might be able to assist you on?
I mean, I could tell you the movie.
Oh, you figured it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still trying to figure it out.
Actually, I mean, there's so many out there. This is, in a way, it's almost easier than picking out, like, your favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many really bad, bad movies out there.
And yet we see them for some reason.
I see a lot of them.
We don't listen to the reviews.
No, you love them.
Love them.
He loves that
No. I've been wavering back and forth. There's too many good choices out there. But the movie I want to go with, and this might be somewhat controversial because we live in a dumb world with a lot of dumb people, and many of whom actually like this movie, Transformers 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dick.
He loves it. I bet Andre loves
no,
it.
No, I hope not.
You loved it?
No, I was going to talk about how bad it is.
Oh. I thought the first one was bad, too, so...
No, if you thought the first one was bad, where do you see Transformers 2? Transformers 2 was basically money being flushed down a toilet for like 2 hours. Like, that's what I saw as I watched the movie. I don't know what... Hanjo, what would you say about Transformers 2?
I'd agree. I think even more than just money being flushed down a toilet, I think it was Michael Bay, like, taking... shitload of money that Hollywood gave him, shoving it up his ass, shitting it out, and then, like, pissing all over it, and then trying to pour gasoline on it to light it on fire.
Yeah, yeah. That's almost exactly what it was. And people ate it up. That movie, like, made a shitload of money in the box office.
Did it make as much as the first one?
I think it made more than the first one, dude.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, there were points of that movie where I... And I'm someone who is very forgiving of stupid shit. And that was a movie which I was looking around the movie theater, like, trying to gauge other people's reaction. And I saw people in the movie theater that were, like, laughing and, like, clapping at the action scenes, like, yay! And I don't know, that was the moment in which I thought maybe we shouldn't have a democracy in this country anymore. I don't know, but long story short, if you haven't seen Transformers 2, for the love of God, don't. And Transformers 3 is coming out soon, filmed right here in Chicago. Huzzah. Yeah. Yeah. It was filmed in, like, July and August, right in downtown Chicago. Actually, right near Chris's new workplace.
Yes.
Yes. Picture yourself set up for good in the whole of life. Mystery zone. Make us a house, some faraway town where nobody will know us well. Where your dad's not around. And all the trouble you look for all your life, you will find it for sure.
I heard that Megan Fox is not even going to be in it. So one of the few redeeming qualities of these movies is going to be gone.
Have you heard that she has some, like, genetic disorder where her thumbs are shaped like... she has, like really fat thumbs. They're, like, fucked up. Her thumbs are all weird.
Wait, you never paid attention to that? I only paid attention to it because several people named it. Honestly, if... she still wanted to bang me, I would bang her right now. But yeah, if you pay attention to certain scenes, like the one in Transformers 1 where she's driving the car, pay attention to her thumbs. There's something off about them.
Yes, she has freakishly weird
looking. I guess I've never been focusing on the old thumbs. I think we're down to who's next? Who's next? Bad movies.
Andrew.
I believe it is me. Wow. Oh, and by the way, I did want to mention that you were right. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is the, at least so far, the 23rd highest grossing movie of all time.
That makes me so mad. Like,
at $836,000,000.
Oh my God.
$197,228.
There was... I should not watch a movie that is that dumb and be confused. Like, I couldn't even follow the plot, and it made me feel like there was something wrong with me. which I don't want to get from a Transformers film. I felt like I was unable to follow the film because I was just missed something.
No, the reason you couldn't follow the film was because there was no cohesive plot.
No.
Literally, in
the production of that film, they filmed scenes without knowing how they were going to be related, and they had screenwriters try to fill in the gaps post-production.
Whoa.
And it didn't work. So there are literally action scenes that are not related to one another that happen subsequently.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sorry, but that does not compute. And the fact that a movie that does that can make that amount of money is doesn't bode well for the future of the world.
See, I refuse to see movies like that. I'm kind of weird. Like, I don't like those big action blockbusters. Although there are exceptions. I mean, like, the new Batman series is fucking awesome. But that's because it's like a whole different, like, take on action movies. But between Transformers, I didn't even see the first one. It's all of the Spider-Man movies. I don't give a shit about those fucking movies. I hate those fucking movies.
I fucking love them, man. The first two. The third one was horrendous.
The Spider-Man's?
The third Spider-Man movie was horrendous.
I don't know why, like, Dark Knight's in a different... Or, not Dark Knight, but the Batman.
Those Batman movies are fucking badass. And you know what, though? They were following source material, like the comic books.
Right.
Like, particularly Frank Miller, who was behind Sin City and 300 and a few
awesome.
Other... They're all based on these comic books.
Graphic novels, yeah.
Graphic novels, comics, whatever you want to call them. It's stories told through sequential art. Batman Begins and The Dark Knight had huge chunks of those movies that were scene-for-scene parallels to what they were adapted from. And what they were adapted from were basically storyboards. I mean, if you look at a storyboard for a film... It looks a lot like a comic book where they're going through the scene.
Right.
And The Dark Knight in particular had scenes that were ripped right off the pages. But Christopher Nolan was smart to pick the scenes which worked particularly well from the source material and adapt them into film brilliantly. And it was just the perfect, you know, taking what was great about the material but then making it your own. And, I mean, that's where the creator... comes into play.
Yeah,
you know, that's the difference between Christopher Nolan and Michael Bay.
Fuck him.
We should lynch Michael Bay. Can we please get like a lynch mob together and do this?
You know, though, he made The Rock. And yeah. I like The Rock.
It was better. It still has that cheesy element to it, though.
That actually might even fit into the category we started with of movies that we like, but if we saw for the first time now... I don't know.
I love The Rock when I was younger, but if I saw it now, I think I'd be a little annoyed. It just has that cheesy element.
Speaking of which, and I'm sorry, I have to add this. I was at Alcatraz on Saturday, like 4 days ago. I did the Alcatraz tour, and I fucking loved it. I mean, you can think it might be hokey or whatever, but the Alcatraz tour, if you're in San Francisco, that's the move.
I've heard it's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Sorry, go ahead, Honda.
No, the only point I was going to make was we can't be too pissed. Obviously, we're pissed about the fact that, like, there's all these awful movies that are far inferior to, like, a lot of smart movies and well-done movies. But these, like, shitty movies tend to, like, make it big and get high-grossing. You also have to remember, like, what people are going to watch movies. First off, I'd probably say that people between the ages of, like, less under 25 are the highest, people that are going to watch the most movies in the
movie. Oh, yeah. No, movies are typically, the highest grossing films are depending largely on 25 and under, particularly in the summertime. People that are going to go see a movie 5 times. I mean, once you're 25 or older, it's pretty rare to find someone that has the attention span to watch a movie in the theaters more than once, definitely more than twice. It takes younger people to have to be capable of really, I mean, me, even when I see a great movie now, it's rarely I'll watch a movie more than twice within a year time period.
Yeah.
But younger people can do it.
Yeah, that's why you see these numbers. So it's not really about how good the movie is. We shouldn't be surprised about how shitty these high-grossing movies are. Quite the opposite.
I don't know.
That's why some of the best movies out there are very low-grossing movies. And it's really nice and refreshing to see an amazing movie like The Dark Knight that is not only like high budget, it has amazing effects, but also so incredibly well done. It's rare to see that combination.
It definitely highlights just how bad a movie like Transformers 2 is. It does a great job of showing you that you can please almost everybody by having, you know, like your typical popcorn action flick. It just is more rare than maybe it should be.
Make the move.
this conversation's got me thinking about a whole other topic, which maybe is for another
podcast. Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
Horror movies, good and bad.
You mean horror or?
Yeah, horror. Yeah.
It's not a horror movie. It's horror.
You're right.
Horror than it is in your average horror.
Of course, yes. No, but
horror.
It's like my favorite word.
Horror. If you can make a truly good horror movie, that's impressive because there's, what, like 75% of them are just fucking awful.
Yeah.
So, like, really good horror movies are something that are rare.
And they, it happens. And I love the feeling of coming out of a truly great horror movie.
Dude. The Ring, Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity was good. Like, I walked out of that movie just, like, I kind of was creeped out and I liked it. Like, that's a cool feel.
Yeah, it is. That was an awesome movie.
I'm trying to think, The Descent?
I didn't see that.
Son of a bitch. I own it.
I own it too.
Yeah.
I have to see it. Tonight I'll see it.
No, but like, I mean, it's tough, I think, for people making horror movies to really grasp the less is more approach.
Right.
Where, I mean, the majority of truly great horror movies are not going over the top. And usually the first hour of the film is somewhat slow, but giving you a hint of what's to come. And then the last half an hour, things can get real fucked up. But when I see a horror movie, if within the first half an hour, some crazy shit happens, it's almost never going to work.
Right.
Because you get desensitized.
The Ring did it. The Ring had some crazy shit right at the beginning.
When that girl died and she was in the closet.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Dude.
You're right. That's a good counterpoint. I'm wrong. Damn it.
That's a rare exception.
Damn it.
Well, no, it's definitely about being more or less. So a lot of these movies feel like, oh, the better the effects, the crazier the story, the better it is. I think one of the best horror movies of all time was The Orphanage.
Yes, ooh, the Spanish movie.
Yes.
That was freaky, dude.
Unbelievably freaky. And they barely... The scariest part was like when they had some little kid running around with a mask.
Paper bag on his head, yeah.
You know, that was a great movie, and that was almost, that gets into a key distinction. I would almost call that a psychological thriller, which is a subgenre of horror.
It is.
But is almost always the best horror films are going to fit into psychological
thriller. Because that wasn't necessarily supernatural. That was all, she was...
I think it was supernatural.
It was like in the end, you found out. Well, I don't want to give it away.
Let's not give it away, but suffice it to say that the fear elements there hit on something very real,
dude.
Which in her case was the loss of someone special to you,
right?
Someone extremely special to you, and the thing that it really like the truly most haunting aspects of that film were when they dwelt on that loss, and I mean there was some jump scares, but the fear that I recall and the emotional resonance that I felt in my empathetic relationship with those characters were from their loss and that haunting nature. And then the fact that they also had some scary scenes kind of tied it all together for me.
Along the exact same lines of what you're talking about, and I have to actually go back to what an earlier comment I made about the best movie I've seen this year, Shutter Island.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, awesome.
My God, dude.
I haven't seen it.
As far as psychological thrillers go, that is, as far as I'm concerned, the masterpiece. That movie was awesome.
That movie definitely kept me guessing the entire time.
Don't give too much away. This is a movie I'm very excited to see.
It keeps you guessing the entire time. I kind of guessed at the end, but I was never convinced, like, I know the ending. And
which was? I'm just kidding.
I had a podcast where I talked about what a great job Leo did.
Yeah, no, he's turned out to be a pretty good actor.
Yeah. Well, our friend Greg Franklin is apparently obsessed with Leo. I don't know if you've listened to our Greg cast, but he went on like a 5-minute tangent about Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio?
Let's get
Well, shall we move on?
Yes.
This is a little segment we have here that I'm kind of excited to hear about. We're gonna discuss.
I haven't given my bad movie yet.
Oh, really?
Whoops.
Yes.
Whoops. Go ahead, Hondro.
You're dead to me. Damn it! Now I forgot the one that I had.
No, you didn't.
Think harder.
Oh yes. Now I remember. So basically, what I was gonna say was that, you know, we have dozens of movies that are really bad out there. I mean, I can name
dozens,
a dozen.
Dude, we have like thousands and thousands.
I was going to go into the subject of Revenge of the Fallen, Transformers 2, only because it's more fun to talk about the high-grossing and high-budget movies that are so shitty, because you would think, oh my god, with all this money, I probably could have made a better movie. But let me name a few, and then I'm going to go into detail on one of them. One of them was Battlefield Earth with John Travolta.
That's widely regarded as Scientologist propaganda.
Yes. Two, The Postman with Kevin Costner.
Great movie.
Oh, so good. Are you serious, Hondro?
It was so bad. Showgirls, except for the movies.
Oh, yeah, Jesse.
I wouldn't know anything about the in-between scenes. That's what I call it.
That one for the dancing.
Yeah. I was there for the dancing and the magic and just the whole production of the whole show. No, go ahead.
And finally, and this is the one I'll talk a little bit about, but Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, dude, thank you. Thank you. That was
so right.
I'm so glad that movie did not survive the test of time.
I'm going to be honest. I, not out of choice, but I own that movie because somebody gave it to me.
It's like a gag gift?
I don't know if it was a gag gift or not. I think this person may have actually legitimately thought it was a funny movie.
Oh.
But,
I watched it
more than once just because I thought,
you're into horses.
Maybe I'm not getting it. Maybe I'm not getting it. No, it is a genuinely horrible, horrible, horrible movie.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that Tom Green has also not stood the test of time. Because I feel like it's all Tom Green humor. And it's like, you had a scene. Let me talk about one scene. He goes into a hospital, and there's a woman that starts to give birth. So he takes a baby out of her and starts swinging it around the room. And it's supposed to be a really funny scene in the movie. And I didn't laugh. And yes. May God have mercy on Tom Green's soul. Making such an atrocious movie.
Distasteful, if I do say.
It was trying to be distasteful, and it was trying to be as random as possible. And I think that's something you see in a lot of 21st century humor, is complete and utter randomness.
Shock value.
It's shock value, and like trying to be ironic, I guess, and try to show you what you don't expect. I mean, like, a lot of, like, the worst episodes of Family Guy will just be, like, trying to be as weird as possible.
And yet, those are funny, though, I think.
No, they can be funny. They can be funny. But, I mean, the ones that aren't funny.
Right.
Or the jokes in Family Guy that fall flat. Or when, like, they're trying to be completely and utterly random. And that's, like, Freddy Got Fingered. And it's
just the whole movie, though.
The entire movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the one time that I put a salmon head on Muhammad? Alright, well, if nobody got that, that was a reference to
South Park.
South Park.
Yeah.
Which, they made such an awesome case against Family Guy for its random humor that I could not watch Family Guy for at least 6 months.
Yeah, if you watch that episode of South Park, it makes Family Guy very hard to watch.
Really?
Because they make fun of how random all the humor is.
That's interesting.
But no, Family Guy can be very funny. It's just that it can be very funny, or it can be like,
I can take each of those shows in small doses. I can't watch
South
Park.
I understand that entirely. popular, generally well-liked movies that are actually crappy, and they're crappy because we say they are. Let's start with Alejandro. Can we start with
Alejandro?
Wait, didn't I just go? I mean,
You did. Chris, let's start with Chris.
All right. Well,
let's do this.
Some of these are more popular than others, to be sure, but I generally dislike every movie that's had either Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie in it from the beginning of the year 2000. I liked Brad Pitt in a lot of movies prior to then.
Loved him.
Oh, I loved him. God.
He loved
him. No, but like A River Runs Through It, great movie. Legends of the Fall, great movie. But everything he's made in the past 10 years...
Both took place in Montana.
Oh, no.
By the way.
That's where John's family has a house.
Go ahead.
practically
from there.
I don't know. I really don't think he's a good actor. I think he's a fucking horrible actor in most of the movies I've seen him lately. And then Angelina Jolie happened to be in the only movie I've ever walked out of, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I'm not claiming to be a popular movie, but they just happened to be in that movie together, and I fucking hated it. The only movie I've liked him in the past 10 years is Jesse James. I thought that was a really good movie.
That's a good movie.
But more because of Casey Affleck than because of Brad Pitt. Yeah. Now, the one that I'm going to mention, though, as one that I think is pretty popular, because everyone I've talked to is like, oh, have you seen this? And I'm always like, yeah, I saw it. I didn't finish it because I didn't like it. Burn After Reading. I did not like that movie. Yeah. Most people I know liked it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was stupid. Brad Pitt was stupid in it. I just thought the whole movie was
pretty dumb. Yeah, you know, the Coen brothers are interesting. The Coen brothers are who made Burn After Reading, are a little bit hit or miss. They come up with an idea and they go balls deep, so to speak, into that idea.
Right.
And consequently, they can have some pretty epic failures. I wouldn't, in my opinion, call Burn After Reading a complete failure.
But I think part of it has to do with the fact that so many people raved about it before I'd seen it.
Yeah,
so
for me, that movie to me seemed like a very small, like, almost like an indie film, but with a big cast.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is the category we're talking
about.
Well,
you know, the thing is, for those who might actually like that movie, the thing that I did appreciate about it was, and this is just because I'm a fucking huge dork, and I listened to the director commentary and had the writer-directors sell the movie to me for 2 hours, is they explained how what they were going for was a synthesis of the world of like the political thriller and the CIA agent lifestyle and the lifestyle of your average gym employee and what happens when those two lifestyles come together. And it's pretty funny. You know what popular movie chaps my ass? and this is like serious shit right here, is the movie The Blind Side. I don't know, I mean, I feel like there is a motivated element out there that's very anti-Blind Side, and I'm glad it's out there because I'm going to subscribe to that newsletter because that movie was the dumbest, most contrived bullshit ever. I'd watch a documentary about the real story involved and be like, all right, cool. But that movie was so obviously false and so obviously... I mean, it's like every chance they had, they tried to turn it into just a contrived, stupid movie. I mean, I could have watched that movie on like as a Lifetime original feature and been like, all right, this is pretty dumb. And meanwhile, it was nominated for Best Picture. And Sandra Bullock won Best Actress for that movie, and I don't know, like, I guess I'm the only one here who's seen that movie, but son of a bitch, I wanted to gouge my eyeballs out, man.
My mom loved that movie.
Really? It's an old man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a perfect example of why being the editor of this podcast is like the worst job. But no.
Wait, why? What did I do?
Nothing, Andre. You're perfect.
You're doing great.
No, that movie was just so I don't know, utterly contrived. And in watching it, you can be like, wow, I can tell that this scene definitely didn't happen in the real version. It was just obvious. I mean, as anyone who's lived in the real world would know, we don't live in movies. And this might come as a devastating truth to some
people. Wait, what?
You've never seen me.
Wait. Anybody who's lived in the real world.
I digress. Anyways, we have a very special guest here tonight. He's been sitting here for a little while watching us.
Just creepily.
Creepily. For God's sakes, I wish... Alright, Brady, put some pants on and say hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Brady, tell me about a truly awful movie that seems to be shockingly popular that you've seen.
I don't know. Chris and I were just talking about how we thought Inception was a little bit overrated.
We've already talked about that on this podcast.
Did you really? Well, see, that's why being late.
I planted that.
Planted that Inception into his head.
Oh, yes.
Fascinating.
Brilliant. No, it was a good movie.
He planted it directly into his head. As you know, these two guys live with each other, and Brady's girlfriend's out of town.
Yeah.
So things, Brady, things while happen. She's out of town, Brady planted the inception of that idea directly, like, couldn't have been more directly into his head.
Yes. And he enjoyed it.
No, I mean, in all seriousness...
And Brady just sucked it down.
In all seriousness, I think I need to...
Inception.
Inception.
In all seriousness, I think it was a good movie.
I thought it was a really cool movie.
I think I need to see it again, because... Yeah. I don't know, something about the theater I saw it at, the sound effects and the visuals were not as great as I think they could have been. I saw it in, like, a small, like, town theater... Like, yeah, I really should have seen it at IMAX, because...
Gotta do big city, man. Big city.
Big
city. We know what's up.
No, but seriously, though, it was interesting.
It was a great movie. They just needed to edit it a little bit more in the end. That was my one critique.
I don't know. I just... Brady, this was your example, and you just said it was a great movie.
Well, I didn't have much time to prepare.
Okay. I mean, I think you can clearly come up with a better example.
Better example of a shitty movie? About,
look at my DVD collection.
No.
You can come up with like 20.
Let me look around here.
Mm.
The Wire is an awesome show. We're talking about bad.
But that's not at all what we're talking about. Chris, you said that there was a show that was overrated in your opinion. Go.
Oh, a show that was overrated? And you love it. You try to get me to love it too.
Oh no.
Deadwood.
What?
I said it. I fucking said it.
No, I literally said it.
I tried to watch the first two or three episodes and I just couldn't do it.
What?
That's an awesome show. Just because of the way they talk?
Yeah, it just seemed like really corny to me.
Really?
Like just, I don't know.
You're corny.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It is hard to get in the vibe of, you know, the way they talk is kind of hard to follow.
Yeah. It's hard.
I didn't like all the swearing.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch a show or movie or any sort of anything that doesn't just have characters that are just you.
Predictable.
I don't know. I watch a show with like 20 me's.
Yeah.
Just shooting the shit.
It was all built up and I don't know.
No, I hear you.
It's mediocre.
No, it does have points in which it feels a little fabricated.
Right.
It feels a little over the top. You know, it doesn't necessarily always feel like authentic. You know, a lot of times it feels like, you know,
I mean, honestly,
a little over the top for the sake of being over the top.
It feels like a typical HBO show, but I think HBO has refined their programming since that show, because it was one of the first ones of their original programming that they did. I mean, I just feel like the show
is... I don't know.
See, personally, I mean, obviously, since I am the one who, like, was such a Deadwood pusher back in the day, I fucking love the show. And I've been to Deadwood several times, and I'm a big history buff. Specifically, I love, like, the culture out west, and Deadwood being a big central
place. Whether you went to the place or not, the show is fucking awesome. I mean, it's
I love the controversy.
It's hard to follow, though. I will put that like out there because of the language that they talk in. Yeah. It's not easily captured. But
what's his name again? Swearingen.
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 And a lot of people thought that was a play on words. Swear engine. And he's cursing all the time, swearing, whatever you want to call it. But in fact, he was a real character. All the characters in that show, all the central players, were real people. And the big events of that show were real. I mean, anybody who was killed, any like huge dispute was actually happened. And for me, I mean, I guess I got acclimated to it. I was willing to suspend a little bit of disbelief in some of the dramatic elements. But I can see your point, Chris. I can see your point, and you're wrong.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
See your point, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I think John, you and I have somewhat overlapping tastes, but mm-hmm. I do think you and I tend to have differing.
Absolutely.
It's a lot like a Venn diagram. You and I.
How is it?
You know, I would call it a
for example, when I was last when I was in Chicago in May, John took me out to see a movie by the name of Kick-Ass.
Oh yeah.
Which if I had not been with John, I would have walked out halfway through. But he loved it.
I fucking loved it.
Bless his heart.
I thought it was good. I saw it too.
See, I just don't like movies that are
Chris,
over the top,
Chris doesn't like things that are over the top.
Yeah. Well, Swearingen has some awesome one-liners, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, I want to fuck something.
That's great.
Should edit that out.
He's like the first person to ever say that.
Yeah. He gets so mad.
I need to give it another shot. Yeah. Maybe I need to give...
Perhaps.
There's no more beer.
But, you know, there's so much...
I walked in late.
No, there's beer in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
There's so much... We talked about this in our last podcast. Our last podcast was all about television. And we talked about how much good TV there is out there on networks like HBO and AMC,
Showtime. Yeah.
Showtime. It's almost impossible to keep up. All right, Hondro. I think we've covered a lot of ground here. Hondro, it sounds like you are jerking off over there.
Yeah. We're preoccupied.
Yeah, buddy, you jerking off? Is that what's going on? Masturbation station. Washington, D.C., central capital of masturbating?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know anything.
Fish jumping out of my aquarium.
It's just flopping around. Grab him.
Flopping on the floor.
All right, well, this is Wednesdays for Comics. We love to drink. We love to just talk stupid shit. We're happy to have Chris in Chicago.
Yeah,
ready?
And the German guy. We want him on this podcast next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, get over here.
Let's not lose our German fan base, okay?
In all seriousness,
we're so happy to have
Spread the word.
Keep spreading the word, buddy.
And the love.
We love you. We love you long time.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah. All right, Hondro. Thanks again, Chris. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you, John.
Brady, a little late, actually.
Yeah.
Very, very late. And everything
I showed up with the beer. And,
everything you
late.
Brought up was something we discussed like within the last hour.
Or already talked about that, buddy. Or negative.
Or negative.
Yeah,
and that's why we're just calling it quits.
Yeah, ever since Brady showed up.
Shit went down.
Standard. Yeah. Forest crowd, dude. All right. Just like I told you.
Yeah. Hondro?
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye from America Online.